Good morning.
Good morning, Shar. It's Betty.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's still dark here. That's my first thought when I woke up. It's still really dark out. Oh, dear.
It's like the middle of the night, huh?
Yes. Yes. It's, you know, when you're, oh, boy, when it first starts really hitting you, it does feel like the middle of the night when you wake up when it starts.
Yes.
And it reminds me of old days gone by that I don't want to remember. I'm thankful to be in the years I'm in.
Absolutely.
Some of the ones I went through.
Yes.
At least at this time of the morning, thinking about, oh, goodness. And the rain's finally hit, so anyway, we're getting lots of moisture right now.
Oh, we're supposed to start with some rain today, and it's quite overcast at this point, so not bad. We need it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've been fairly dry, too, a little bit anyway, so.
Yeah.
It's just an ant, and everybody else is excited because it's dumping snow on the mountain so they can go skiing.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That's only about 40 minutes from here, and that's a big part of our family life for our kids because they love going up there skiing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Puts all the cousins together, and Vance emailed me when he hit the ground. He goes, let's get together tomorrow. So let's touch bases tomorrow, he says.
Yeah.
And then Denny on the way home yesterday says, why don't we stop by Vance's? And I go, he said they were in. I said they touched down, and he said, let's connect tomorrow. And I'm going, I think they want to probably get caught up.
Yes, I'm sure. No. I'm sure they have to just collect themselves at this point.
Yes. So how did your weekend go?
It was okay. We had a friend of ours that died suddenly, so that was kind of a rough time.
Mm. Yeah, that's not, no matter how or who, it's not easy, so.
Yes, I'm just a little concerned about his wife, you know.
Mm. Well, that's what friends are for, to be able to communicate and at least be there for them. So I know you're the best person that will always do that. So,
yep, that's the whole thing.
And maybe someone that's going to be very important in her life, because I don't know how she eats, but that can have a big, big part.
Yeah, she eats poorly.
Yeah, and usually they don't want to think about it, or they don't make good choices. So,
yes,
to give some kind of a hand, you know, whether it's moral support or whether it's actual. Is she close by you, or I mean, relative?
Yeah, she's a neighbor.
Oh, goodness. Oh, okay. So that definitely does.
Right.
Make it within your reach. I know we went to take some food to a person we just met. Actually, we'd never met the husband, and yesterday, and I went prepared to go by there and take some things to them, and as it turned out, Denny ended up meeting him, which I've never even met him. I just met her casually in a bookstore, living in a motel and not able to find a place to move into, and they had a good conversation, so I told him, I says, when I found out his wife was just leaving the house, and he was going to be, or at the motel, and he was going to be there by himself, I said, okay, this is your turn. He goes, I don't know the guy, and I go, neither do I. I hardly know his wife, but that doesn't mean we can't befriend them when they're having a hard time, and we've got, you know, so much in the garden and stuff. I said, just a couple of things I took, and so I talked to her, and she said that even the food stamps had been delayed. I thought they were already on them, but they had been delayed. And, you know, I don't do it for anything back. It's just, but you never know. You never know what you're going to get back from where. And, you know, when you think, if you want to think strictly about the business, that's not the reason I'm doing it. But I'm just saying, you never know what you're starting when you put a new person into your atmosphere, I'll say.
Uh-huh.
Lack of better word. And they, you know, definitely need the help right now. So she said it was going to be days, and she says, you know, we're running low, and they've got a little bit left. But she says we need to hang on to every penny we've got to be able to make the first and last payment. And she says, I hate spending a cent more than I need to. So, you know.
Well,
however we can be of help, go ahead.
Yes, that's just so tough, and it's, you know, it just brings home about, like, the gratitude journal, and sometimes you're struggling to come up with some things to put in there, and why should that be? I mean, there's so many things to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm. There is, and in thinking that way, it does allow you to reach out more and get outside yourself. And you know, even if it takes a time for some things that we feel we're so busy in life that we, you know, can't do.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least that's what comes through my head when I get into these situations or, you know, just face reality. Was anybody on with you? Betty?
I didn't hear any.
Has arrived.
As we speak.
Yes.
Good morning. Who just joined us?
It's me. How are you?
You. Good. Good. We're just talking about, well, I'm not going to say that. We're not just talking about nothing. We're talking about being grateful for what we have and stepping in when other people don't. So.
That's so interesting because that was yesterday's Simple Abundance last night.
Was it?
Yeah. Because we focus so much on what we're missing, whether it's whatever, what we don't have. Money was her issue. You know, she's talking like 5 days of money. And if you focus on not having it, guess what you get?
Not having it.
Bingo.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we were just talking about the time element because that's another big one. We get caught up in.
Has arrived.
Sometimes don't do the things that we could to help other people, whether it's just share information or whether it's physically, you know, something for them. Somebody else just joined us. Good morning.
And has arrived.
Dr. Oz today has started the program with so many people who want to lose weight complain that it's too expensive to eat healthy. I've had this conversation hundreds of times with my son. He has a menu where everything on it is a dollar or less.
Uh-huh.
Per serving. There is animal on it, but you know, he also went through start your shopping at perimeter.
Eating healthy. I'm just writing because that's a good way of saying it. Eating healthy does not cost more.
I didn't even touch, at least I think I got pretty close to the end, beans at all, surprisingly.
Really?
Which is really so cheap. But if you look at even a box of whole grain pasta, there was a Jerusalem choke pasta that he talked about that has something in it that is very good for you. I've never seen that kind of pasta, but even the whole grain pasta, which is more expensive than the white stuff per serving, isn't.
Oh, no. I mean, I think the whole wheat at the bulk food store where we're going is, I thought it was like, some of it was like 78 cents a pound.
Whoa, that's really cheap.
I'll have to look. Maybe it's a dollar. Maybe it's just over a dollar.
But you're getting it at a special kind of store anyway.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I was so excited yesterday when I was in there that, you know, you guys, the stores you regularly go in, go down some of the areas maybe that you wouldn't normally and watch the things changing. I could not believe in 2 weeks. Now, I didn't look as carefully 2 weeks ago as I did this time, but some of the stuff I know I would have noticed that they put in organic in the bulk section. Just a lot of it now. And oh, and what even more is Bob's Red Mill is on the label of the bins.
I've seen a lot more of that lately.
Have you?
Okay. In the packages, yeah.
Huh?
The package of Bob's Red Mill, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm talking about the open bins where they're bringing in 25, 50-pound bags.
You're more likely to have that out there than we are.
Yeah. Yet. Oh, yeah, I know. And it's, but, you know, this is a store that prides itself in having the lowest price of any store in the city.
Wow.
Compare. They run a list of all the other stores, all the major name brands, and they put their price and then the other guy's price is right behind it. And they're doing it on some of the bins, and they're doing it on, because there's a lot of other ones that, you know, do bulk. And there's no competition for them where they are now because there's no health food store close at all. I mean, it's quite a distance from us in miles. So they've got the corner on the market, and what it is because of the wide range of people that shop there. I mean, some people that are, you know, really at poverty level are in there because it's got that reputation. And it's quite a large chain in the Northwest. Actually, all the way down into, maybe not into California, or maybe just barely. But anyway, in the Northwest, Oregon, Washington it is. And so more people are looking that there's, I mean, some of the stuff is just very few pennies. I mean, even with, they're not doing it so much in the fresh produce. There's very little in the fresh produce that's organic, but the other stuff that's in the bins.
That's interesting. I wonder why that is.
I don't know. And they've got a huge produce section, absolutely huge. The leafy stuff in the package, yes. The romaine lettuce and the spinach, but I don't pick up much of anything else. I'm not even sure they even have the carrots. Carrots have not been plentiful in our area, organic like they normally are. Not seeing near the amounts of them in the stores, so they must be having a short crop yet, or they haven't harvested it yet, which could be.
Did you know that kale is a good pick-me-up?
You mean energy-wise?
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
That's what they just said on a reason to eat kale. It was high in one of the vitamins. I don't remember what, but it also gives you energy.
Huh. Oh, I just wanted to make a note of. It's fun to pass those kinds of things on, you know, where people would pick up something sugary. You know, let it take a few minutes longer to get that.
One of his first rules was no simple sugars, no corn syrup. Speaking of corn syrup, on the front page of our newspaper yesterday, fighting fat, corn sweetener is latest food product on nutrition hit list. Some tie high fructose corn syrup to disease. Others say it's same as sugar. And then there's about six inches here, two columns. And then it continues on another page with a fairly large spread. And then it's like the whole page on the next column, on the next page. And then they have experts' view on high fructose corn syrup. This physician at the clinic, whom I have heard talk several times, and is really right on it. The only thing, several years ago, I heard her talk, and she said that farm-raised salmon was as good as wild, and that kind of put a check mark next to her name. But otherwise, she's really right on things. She says, in reviewing studies, they've shown that average daily fructose consumption is 54.7 grams, and for adolescents, it is 72.8. Consuming more than 50 grams a day can have an effect on our triglycerides, and the more elevated those are, the more of an association with diabetes and metabolic syndrome. Fructose seems to bypass many of the body's signals that tell us we're satisfied. With everything else being equal, eating fructose, you'll still be hungry.
How many grams did you say? That was of sugars, right? No, that couldn't have been. How much?
Average daily fructose consumption.
Oh, fructose.
Yes, it's 54.7, but it's 72.8 for adolescents. I guess they're drinking more soda than they are adults, I don't know. And she says eating more than 50 grams a day can have effect on your triglycerides. The more elevated they are, the more there's an association with diabetes and metabolic syndrome. Then there is a registered dietitian from University Hospitals here who says it's important to eat a plant-based diet and to limit processed foods. But this focus is on one ingredient. Demonizing one ingredient and tossing it out isn't the magic bullet that solves all our nutrition problems. Then Dr. Voisin pipes in and says, there's a maximum capacity of fructose you can handle, whether from fruit juice or high fructose corn syrup, doesn't matter. When you exceed the capacity, you cause inflammation. Fructose is fructose is fructose, and it is a dose-related thing, but moderation is an awful lot. Is an awful low amount. There's a whole page here on high fructose corn syrup. And, you know, pros and cons. Some are saying it's just like sugar. Well, all of a sudden sugar has a good name. And they even mentioned in the beginning that they want to change the name.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So he's saying, okay, he says all sugar is
there's
sugar.
A maximum capacity of fructose you can handle. Whether from fruit juice or high fructose corn syrup, doesn't matter.
Okay.
When you exceed the capacity, you cause inflammation. Have we heard that it causes inflammation again? I don't know.
Yes, but it's said in, you know, it's almost like it's watered down. It's been said more like it just moves it further in that direction. Yeah, I've heard it, but it's more like it moves it further in that direction.
I didn't read the whole article. It may very well say what Tanya Edwards was saying, that it, you know, it becomes addictive. Kind of basically she's saying that because you'll still be hungry. He just says that it's a dose limiting thing, and moderation is an awful low amount.
Moderation is a low amount, like none, huh?
Well,
should be.
Yeah. And I have some other people, you know, they quoted, but it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 columns. It's the whole page.
Wow.
Yeah. And I chose not to read the whole page because it's just them arguing over what's good and what's bad.
Well, I can't believe that there's anything connected with it that's good. I mean, a piece, one or two pieces of fruit a day, or two or three pieces of fruit if you're at the point where you want to be, is one thing, but...
You know, well, it's interesting that up because my eyes just focus on this. Because foods that are high in HFCS are a rich and dense source of calories, we can consume them quickly, so it's easy to eat too much. There's another issue, too. If you eat a piece of fruit every hour, doctors say, your liver could easily process that source of fructose surrounded as it is by fiber. Eating fruit requires more chewing than digesting, which slows down your intake and the absorption of the food by the body. The large amounts of fructose, which can be quickly ingested in processed foods and beverages high in HFCS, overwhelm its organ. That is, the body absorbs the fructose so fast that it can inhibit the liver's ability to process it. The excess fructose causes the release of toxins, and inflammation caused by toxins can damage arteries and the immune system.
Well, you know, you think about that real easy. I mean, I can't any longer compare it to eating a candy bar because I don't know how many years it's been since I ate a candy bar. You know, I could maybe say one of the bite-sized Kit Kats within the last, you know, 10 or 15 years. But when it comes to a piece of dark chocolate or 4 or 5 chocolate chips, how quickly does that go down? Or a sip of something that would have... I can't even think of anything I've used for sweetener that I would drink, other than if they've used, I could think of, one of the sweeteners that would go in a coffee drink would be probably within the closest range, which I don't normally add, but I've had them in the past. Trying to think, what else are they really hidden in, Nancy, besides for people that are trying to be clean now?
Well, says here, if you are over 50, the soda you drank when you were a child was sweetened with sugar. By the time you were 25, the sugar had been swapped for high fructose corn syrup.
Okay, but I'm saying, see, I don't drink soda, so...
Right, I don't, it's in everything. Ketchup.
Yeah, true.
They read labels. It is in everything. It's difficult to, and, you know, again, we're back to the processed food, of course.
Mm-hmm. I'm even trying to think of what Denny would, you know, have occasionally.
So the fructose in HFCS used to sweeten processed foods is not discerned by your brain in the way that a regular whole food is. After all, HFCS has existed in our diets for only around 30 years, and human beings have been around for about 200,000 years. Several studies have shown because your brain doesn't recognize the fructose in processed foods as excess calories, it tells you to keep eating. This creates what Roizen calls the perfect storm. Foods with HFCS can make you both hungry, many sugary foods can trigger what feels like hunger, and, in italics, unable to diminish your appetite because HFCS doesn't allow your body to make leptin, a hormone that tamps down appetite.
Hey, I wonder what's in definitely in the sweeteners they would put in popcorn that you would eat out. You know darn well that they've sweetened the seasonings that go in that, I'm certain. Besides the salt. Well, somebody told me a long time ago that it's actually mixed in with salt. So if it's in with some of the salty seasonings at least, you would find it as an ingredient.
Interestingly, many believe HFCS is actually banned in Europe, but it's not. HFCS, known as isoglucose there, has been subject to strict production quotas since 1977. Boy, those Europeans are way ahead of us on so many things. Limiting the supply of competitive sweeteners, which includes isoglucose, protects the European Union's own domestic sugar producers. The EU quota for sugar and isoglucose is 14 million tons annually, of which 13.3 is sugar. So they aren't allowing very much of it in there.
Wow.
Oh, there's also the European stance against foods that come from genetically modified plants, and HFCS produced in this country is usually made from genetically modified corn. In the U.S., more than 80% of the crop of field corn, which HFCS is made from, has been genetically modified.
Wow.
Now,
they covered everything, didn't they?
Well, even in the U.S., there are registered dietitians and other nutritional experts who share such concerns and advise against eating processed foods with HFCS, whether or not studies clearly point to it as a cause of obesity or illness. And then, yeah, there's two sides. So, I don't know.
I can't see any side for saying yes, put it in your food or have it in your food.
Well, is it coincidental that the obesity balloon started going up when all these things were added?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
I imagine Tab, which you don't see anymore as a soda, was probably one of the first ones to have it.
Wow. Well, should we look at a replacement? I just happened to print out last night because I was doing a recipe that I was curious about proportions. I'm totally changing the subject. Does anybody want to comment on what was just given or what we were talking about? Feel free. I'm trying to watch the time a little better here.
I want to say good morning. This is Daddy. Hello?
Good morning. I could hear you, but it was really breaking up.
I just want to say good morning. This is Daddy.
Good morning. Okay. Good morning,
Daddy. Yep. I just got out and I'm going to put you on mute because I'm watching the kids on Monday. So.
Uh-oh.
But you got my picture, huh?
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, that looked good.
Yeah. It looks good, doesn't it? I know that Ed Benedict, the Uncle Benedict, on Sunday for my husband and I, and I took a picture and sent it to Shaw.
It looked like you would have thought it was the real thing the way it was. Your sauce was a little bit mounded up, or however it looked like in the picture. It looked exactly like Eggs Benedict. They would never have ever guessed it.
Well, you know, the only comment I have, I think next year, because I'm going to double back to that hollandaise sauce, but I think it should be more liquidy, right?
Oh, you set it down to whatever texture, yes.
Because a
pinch more of cornstarch in that is going to make a difference. Or the, just thin it down, yes. If it's too thick, it looked thick on the picture, but I didn't see anything of it. Because we eat it no matter how it is, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, I know. It really didn't do it, but Bill might, putting it on and saying, gee, you don't pour it, huh?
If it sets for just a few minutes, it thickens up more, too, so you always add
I made it the day before because we were out of New Hampshire and I didn't want to bring all my equipment up there.
Okay, when I reheat it, I always have to add more liquid to it. So.
Okay, I was going to, but I didn't. But anyway,
And it can be water, it can be milk, whatever is closest and handy. It doesn't change it that much. You're not doing that. Usually I put milk in it. But one thing I did do different, Dottie, is I made, because Denny's, we're watching the wheat with him, cutting it way back, and I know some of it we're not being like if he was celiac, but... cutting it way back, and I made some homemade muffins that were out of Bob's Red Mill biscuit mix, and they were extremely good. You could not tell when you put them underneath that it was anything other than the best muffin recipe that you've ever made. Anybody that's watching the intake of wheat, if you want to do that, they were a white one. They weren't a whole wheat one. Whole wheat always comes out a little bit heavier for me when I've made those in biscuits for a rare time. Biscuits aren't, one thing, anything that is going to scream of high nutrition by any means because of the processing of the flour, and no real true ingredients. But anyway, thanks for your comment on that and the remembering for other people to definitely try it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay. No, it's very good. Not that difficult. I mean, once you make the hollandaise sauce, I mean, it's the rest of it's easy,
Oh, yeah. Well, there's nothing hard about that. It's just a few ingredients, and it's
nice. Exactly.
Two or three seasonings that you have in there. Anyway, there was one other thing before I do the bouquet garnet that I wanted to share with you. This morning is that we went to an Indian restaurant yesterday, and the first time in a long, long time, years, that I've been in a Indian restaurant being served traditional, and it was traditional because the whole place was full of Indian people. It must have been the area of town, affluent area of town that we were in. Anyway, it was, I really liked it. It was a little too spicy for Denny. But most of it, some of it was okay, some of the sauces. But the little cups, I thought the Japanese had the corner on the market for the little plates and the little dipping sauces and all that. But no, they don't hold a candle to the way we were served yesterday. We tried two different things, an appetizer, which came with, the appetizer had, probably 6 to 8 little, I know at least 6, maybe 7, 8 different little bowls of things, and some of them, three of them were the size of a small soup cup, and they could be a soup or they could be a dip, so it was eat them either way, and they were both a curry. One was a red curry, and the other one was a yellow curry. But the difference in the flavors and what they put together was outstanding. And then the main course was a huge, the size of a pizza pan, a big pizza pan, large, extra large, crepe that was extremely thin. There was no white flour or no wheat flour in it. That caught my attention. It was, was it buckwheat and, or was it lentils? No, it wasn't lentils. Can't remember what the grains were that they used in it. And what amazed me is that it was flipped and so easily, obviously had to be come out of the pan really easily for that size of it. The bottom side of it, when you flipped it over, where you could see that it was that big and that flat because they had it turned over to be like on the inside, was just nothing but spinach, fresh spinach, chopped fine, laid into the, either the top, that would have been the bottom of it. No, it was probably the top of it because the other side was browner. And it was very good. Different flavor, very good. And you rolled it up and you put it in the dipping sauce. Dipped it in whichever one. That one
has arrived.
One was a mint sauce, fresh mint, in a thin sauce. And the other one was, what was the other one? Oh, the other one was a slightly, I can't think now what the other sauce was. But it was very good. It was just very different for me. And, you know, I like a lot of variety in my food and very different. So I don't know how many of the rest of you have experienced Indian food. The owners, I'm sure they were the owners, were extremely gracious. Well, I know they were because Denny asked. His little son was in there trying to help him, about probably 4 years old, and he was keeping him away from the plates. He didn't want him touching anybody's, you know, plates, as they count, because they had a Sunday buffet. Anyway, want to share one thing that went into a recipe. Did I give the lentil soup that was in the Parkview Adventist Medical Center last Friday? I'm not sure I did. I wanted to run down. It was a little bit different. I made it even more different by using French lentils, the little ones. Has anybody cooked with them recently? Do you remember? Do they really take longer to cook than a regular lentil because they're maybe harder?
I don't think I noticed it as being longer.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is when I give this one, it doesn't say, I wouldn't do the directions the same way that they say, simply because it took longer, and that was like a bean. And I know, I don't think other lentils are bothered that much by it, by putting something acidic in there that will slow down or totally annihilate the cooking process, because I really had to cook these way longer. It says 10 minutes. They probably went at least 40 minutes.
Wow.
In the cooking process. Let me run down the ingredients, because all instructions are saute garlic in oil, which I did do a little bit because it was only 1.5 teaspoons of oil and it was just for flavoring. I think using the canola oil, you don't get quite the reaction to the heat that you do with olive oil. So I did use canola oil for that small amount, which I'm not big on canola oil. But maybe it's all oils. I've heard specifically of canola oil. Olive oil when it's hot. I know you're losing the positive value of it when it's heated. So anyway,
I heard you're not supposed to heat olive oil.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it there. It's a difference. So I used the canola oil. I could have used the coconut oil also. It starts with 1/2 pound of dry lentils. I actually doubled the whole batch because it sounded good and just was going to be different. It's too easy. The one batch, the way I'm going to read the recipe, serves 6 people. 1/2 pound of dry lentils. I would, at this point, cook them separately before any of the other liquid is added except the water. and it calls for a quart of water, so I'll put those two ingredients together, even though they're not shown that way. Then for the rest of the recipe, one and a half teaspoons of olive oil, as I mentioned, or whatever you're using, and then 1 1/8 teaspoons of minced garlic cloves. That's a small amount, 1 1/8. I don't get that precise. 1 quart of water, 2 teaspoons of vegetarian chicken broth powder, or whatever you're using for that kind of a seasoning, 3/4 of a cup of diced canned tomatoes, no reason you couldn't use fresh, 2 1/2 teaspoons of lemon juice, 1/3 teaspoon of basil, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and the difference was 3 ounces of chopped frozen spinach, and I had fresh, and I put it in. And that's done. Everything else is done according to the recipe at the beginning, and you're just putting it in, sauteing the garlic. And then the rest of all the ingredients except the spinach goes into the pot, and it says to cook for 10 minutes. Well, there was no way my lentils were done in 10 minutes. And I don't know that they would have been if I had used regular lentils either, probably not. And I'm going to say because of the reaction of the tomato especially, and I think that the lemon would have done the same added to that, although I know that reverses in our body, so I'm not sure whether it's the same thing that makes it so you never put tomato in. I know when you're cooking your beans from dry, because they do not cook up. I simmered some of them for hours, and they still never got soft. So leave that out, and I will do it the next time I make the batch of lentil soup, and it will be repeated because Denny really liked it. I really liked it. I especially liked it with the small the dark green small lentils, and they are appearing in the bulk of my bulk food store too now, which is really... And it's really interesting that they've gained that much popularity. But it was because of the other one that I put together, it's called ginger beet soup, which I have not been able to try yet because I didn't want to process this in the blender because it was late last night and I didn't want to make the noise running it through the house. And in it, it calls for... Bouquet Garnet. Garnet, I think, is the way it's pronounced. I'm not sure I'm right. Nancy, am I?
I have no idea.
Okay.
How do you spell it?
G-A-R-N-I. I think the I is, I'm sure it's French, and the I takes an A sound, I believe.
And you are correct.
Okay, thank you. That's the only way I've ever heard it out here, but I know sometimes we're not proper in our English out here, so anyway. I'll cover it with that one for my lack of knowledge in that area. Anyway, I needed, it said only at the beginning of this is another Parkview hospital recipe out of their cookbook. They put at the top a note, Bouquet Garnet, a bunch of herbs, typically parsley, thyme, and bay leaf. Okay, that caught me. And I wondered, because I wasn't going to the garden to get fresh late last night after dark and the pouring rain, I decided I could substitute this time the dried. But I didn't have a clue what proportions, other than if they were in the order of the most, it would be parsley, less thyme, and probably one bay leaf. So I just plugged it into Google, and of course you get more sites than you care to know about. I pulled one that sounded interesting, and it was seven popular Bouquet Garnet recipes. Won't get into that one because there was a lot of variety, and you were putting together, even the dried ones instead of the fresh. Typically, they're tied together and put down in fresh and put down in the broth that you're making. Or if you're using if they're not still on the stem, you're using them in wrapped, tied up in cheesecloth or a spice bag. And so I got my cheesecloth out and made the little bag, and which is nothing other than cutting a square. I did it double because it seemed like they could, the dried ones could drop through it. They probably would not have, especially when they were wet. And put in only those three ingredients, since that was what was named. And I, what I used was 1 teaspoon of dried parsley to 1.5 teaspoons of dried thyme to 1/4 teaspoon of crumbled dry bay leaf. And again, I don't measure 1/4 teaspoon. So tied it in the thing and dropped it down in with the beet, which I'm not going to give this morning, but just that would be a principle that you could use for any of them. But the original recipe that that came from, where those three ingredients in that proportion were together, was, and of course that violated what I had just said, thinking dried parsley would be the main ingredient. Well, it wasn't more than thyme to begin with, so I kind of shortened the thyme because to me that's a much stronger flavor. Anyway, the other things that went into that part of, to that collection of spices was 1 1/4 teaspoons of marjoram, 1/2 teaspoon of sage, 1/2 teaspoon of dried savory, 1 1/2 teaspoons of celery seed, and 5 peppercorns. So that completes the collection that they were doing as probably a real simple and more common collection of spices.
What did you say before sage, Sharon?
Before sage was marjoram. M-A-R-J-O-R-A-M.
How much of that?
1 1/4 teaspoons. So I'll do it really fast. This is just the way they've got it printed. I starred the items that they had mentioned in the ginger beet soup recipe, which I'll give it to you after I've tasted it. I much prefer doing it that way. So anyway, 1 teaspoon of dried parsley, 1 1/2 teaspoons of dried thyme, 1 1/4 teaspoons dried marjoram, 1/2 teaspoon of sage, 1/2 teaspoon of dried savory, 1/4 teaspoon of crumbled dry bay leaf, 1 1/2 teaspoons of celery seed, and 5 peppercorns. And it just says crush all together. Did I say 5 peppercorns if I said that wrong.
And 1/4 teaspoon of the bay leaf, right?
1/4 teaspoon of the bay leaf, yes. Okay, crush together all the herbs, place in a small bag made from several layers of cheesecloth. So I was right. Okay, so I used just 2. Mine was really pretty tight and pretty fine for cheesecloth. Tightly tie the bag hung with a string. I put a metal hook on the outside to hook through the string so that it would not drop down in, so it'd be easier to get out and discard. Add the garnet while simmering the ingredients for any soup. Take out before serving and discard. What they would consider 1 bouquet garnet. Chef's note is, in bouquet garnet, the amount of any ingredient can be decreased or increased as desired according to personal taste. So that was one of the websites. The other one sounds very interesting to me because they've got the masala recipe, which is going to be a little more unusual for us because it starts out with 20 green cardamom pods, so not something you're going to naturally have in your house probably for cooking seasonings. But anyway, I've got it, and I've wondered what that mix was. I've had a couple of other ones, but these are all listed. They've got the 5-spice mix for the Asian recipes, and all of that. So it will be fun to experiment around a little bit more with that. Into just a little bit more detail than many of us care to do most of the time, but it's fun to try it once. So, last minute questions. Thanks, Nancy, for your input today. It was great.
You mean to take over so much of your call?
No, that's fine. And we've run over when I was trying to cut it shorter. That's happened.
I do have one thing I wanted to tell you that I found at my doctor's office is that Time magazine from August the 30th, and it says at the top of that health special, the organic food debate. So I wanted to just mention that if anybody can spot it. I haven't read the article yet, but just kind of a heads up.
Oh, great. Thank you. I wonder if you can go into Internet. Has anybody looked up the Time articles to see if they're... okay, say the title of the article again.
It's under Health Special, and it's called The Organic Food Debate.
Health Special, The Organic Food Debate.
Is that on the cover also, Betty?
That does... It is at the top of the page, but I guess the main thing on there is America... Islamophobic.
America, Islamophobic.
And it's from August 30th, 2010.
Okay, thank you. I will watch and have Denny watch for that issue also. I would like to read the debate on the organic. I know that with, you know, the allowances made for the chemicals into the mix as disturbing, but we've still got to be a step ahead, at least, in using it, is my opinion. That's what I would like to see. Okay, thank you, and you'll have to give us a report when you get a chance to read it.
Will do.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Guys, make it an absolutely incredible Monday morning for the beginning of the week, and Nancy will be on tomorrow.
Thanks, Shaw.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shaw.
Bye-bye.